Hi, I'm Ed Slott.
And I'm Jeff Levine.
And we're two guys who just love to talk about retirement and taxes.
Look, our mission is simple, to educate you, the saver, so that you can make better decisions, because better decisions, on the whole, lead to better outcomes.
And here's how we're going to do that. Each week, Jeff and I will debate the pros and the cons of a particular retirement strategy or topic, with the goal of helping you keep more of your hard-earned money.
At the end of each debate, there's going to be one clear winner. You, a more informed saver who can hopefully apply the merits of each side of the debate to your own personal situation to decide what's best for you and your family.
So here we go. Welcome to the Great Retirement Debate.
Hey, Ed, you like zero-calorie soda?
Yeah, I actually have vitamin water, zero vitamin water. I love that stuff.
I like it, too. You ever have a paycheck, though, with $0 in it?
No.
All right, so that's not so good, right? I can see already.
I don't even think, can that be called a paycheck?
That's a good question. A no paycheck.
That's called an intern.
Ooh. You're going to rub some interns the wrong way with that one. All right, well, I think even with those two examples, we can see sometimes zero is good, sometimes zero, not so good. So, Ed, kind of leads us into today's topic of discussion. 0%, more specifically, should people aim for a 0% tax rate in retirement?
That sounds fantastic. And I always tell people tax-free is fantastic. You want to have 0%. But if you do the planning, it may not be the best course of action, because you may be leaving a lot of tax savings on the table if you only stop planning or so once you hit zero.
All right. So first, before we get into good, bad, and different, how do we get to zero? Like, what are the ways that someone can pay 0% tax in retirement, Ed?
Assuming they have income, right? That's what we're assuming.
Yes, we'll assume they have income.
Yep. It would be zero if they have zero income. That's, they don't always have to file a return.
It is always an easy way to not pay taxes to have no income. Yes.
Yeah, see? Nobody ever comes up with that strategy. And you heard it here on the Great Retirement Debate.
That's right. Have no income. There you go. Done.
Zero tax bracket. But you could have, you know, they have large standard deductions now. Mm-hmm. Certain income is exempt. So you could actually end up with 0%. It depends on how you invest and what level of income you're at. Yeah.
So maybe like things like municipal bonds.
Right.
0% taxes. You have, let's say, Roth IRAs, right?
Right.
More places you can shield. You could have a 0% tax rate. Could be possibly through the use of certain loans from life insurance, or even really any asset. A loan is going to be received tax-free.
Or even taxable assets that are covered, say, by the standard deduction.
Yep. And then there's, ultimately, you can have up to that standard deduction amount of income tax-free per year. Plus, for a lot of retirees, if they have minimal to no other income, their Social Security can be tax-free as well.
And even capital gains can be tax-free, 0%,
that's
in
right.
certain circumstances.
That's right. If you're in either the 10 or the 12% ordinary income tax bracket, then your long-term capital gains rate is 0%, which applies both to your actual long-term capital gains as well as to qualified dividends.
But the question is, should you stop there and think, this is great?
Right. Is it great? If you get to that point where everything is in one of those areas and you are paying a 0% tax rate, is it good?
Generally, no, especially if you have a lot more built-up income, say in a retirement account, an IRA. The key to tax planning is getting this money out at the lowest rates. Now, zero is the lowest rate, but there are other low rates that you want to take advantage of every year you can.
Yeah, I think you're hitting on something there, Ed, which is, you know, 0% may be good in theory. Like, it sounds great, but 0% for that one year might mean that either you or your heirs have to pay a lot more than zero and a lot more than they otherwise would later on, or you might have gotten to zero by prepaying your taxes to a much too high degree, right? You might have prepaid in the form of Roth conversions way too much earlier in life. You might have prepaid in the form of, or even things like municipal bond interest. You know, municipal bonds, municipalities know there's a special tax rate associated with their interest. And so a typical municipal bond will pay less in interest than a comparably rated and duration corporate bond. Why? Well, because they know that there's a tax benefit tied to it.
That's what you pay.
That's right. So to that extent, right, if you're in municipal bonds, you would expect a lower level of interest. And it varies from time to time, depending upon what yields are, what market conditions are. But oftentimes, if you're not someone who's in the highest or at least one of the highest tax brackets, you're usually better off taking a bond where you have more gross interest, where it's paying a higher yield, in other words, where you're getting more income.
A taxable bond.
And then, exactly, a taxable bond, and then paying the income tax on it. 0% is great, but sometimes it's better to have, you know, a lot of a bigger number than it is to have all of a smaller number.
Right, and it also depends how much you have stockpiled.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're only putting a little in at a time, that means the rest of your assets are growing and growing. And if they're in taxable accounts, like an IRA, for example, the taxes are going to explode.
Yeah, I mean, so let's talk about why this is even a question to begin with, because I think it's fair. There are some people who really believe that this is the best way to go. Right, where you know, either for their own accounts or either even professionals out there who support the idea that retirees should aim towards having a 0% you know, tax rate in retirement. And the thought behind it effectively is, if you have a 0% retirement, you have some predictability over what your taxes look like. It's all yours. You don't have to worry anymore about, you know, what will this happen, what will that happen. There's a peace of mind, and it's fair. Like, it, you know.
But that's generally, you're looking at 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Well, but even if you want, right, if you want to get to the extreme, right, how do you get to 0% forever? Well, if you had, you might have $1 million in your 401k. Convert it all today. You never have to worry about taxes
That's
on
true.
It in the future, right? You get down to 0%. So the challenge I have, again, with that philosophy, I totally agree that we should take into consideration people's comfort levels with things and, you know, what makes them feel good. It's okay. Sometimes it's okay to do things that aren't the best dollars and cents wise if it makes you feel comfortable. But it's also fair to say that we should be careful about doing things that are blatantly not in our financial best interest.
Long term.
Yeah, long term, exactly.
And to the beneficiaries.
Sure, yeah.
If that's important to you.
Yeah, sometimes people say, well, I'm going to leave my kids Roth money. It'll be the best thing for them. Well, maybe, but maybe they would have been better off getting traditional IRA money plus a lot more money in your bank account because they're in a lower tax rate than you.
Right.
Right. It, ultimately, that 0% tax rate, the question is, how much did it cost you to get there already, or how much would it cost you in the future by not using up today's low rates? I guess a different way to say this would be, a low income tax year, Ed, is a terrible thing to waste from a planning perspective.
Tell me, I've heard it before, but I like when you say it. Tell me what you say to an accountant who's so proud of themselves. Jeff, I got my clients a 0% tax rate. How do you like that?
I'm so sorry for the bad advice. That's really what it comes down to.
And what do they say? What?
Yeah, it's, you know,
I'm a hero.
Unfortunately, and look, you're a CPA, Ed. I am a CPA. It pains, I know, both of us to say that, you know, many persons of our ilk, so to speak, are too focused on the here and now. They're looking at today's tax return and saying, how do we keep that number lower? When really what the focus should be on is how to keep the total amount of taxes that someone pays over their lifetime as low as possible, which often means spreading out income and paying at least a little bit, but, you know, some amount, but hopefully a little bit in each year rather than nothing in some, but an outsized tax bill in other years to get it there.
The outsized tax bill is the big surprise, and that could be the big hit, and it could be at a higher rate. It will be at a higher rate, even if rates don't go up, because it'll push you into a higher bracket for that 1 year, because you only get one crack at the apple, rather than you, where you said, you know, you spread it over many years. That's the way to do it.
I think we all understand what you're saying, Ed, which is, you know, effectively, if you have these opportunities, you want a little bit each. Look, I'll give you another analogy, Ed, right? You're supposed to eat 2,000 or 2,500 calories in a day. That's a standard thing, right? You want it all in one meal, or you want it spread out throughout the day, right?
Right.
It'd be very difficult to eat all that. You know,
well, I thought you were going to go, I get it only on Saturday night. You know, I'm going to take, you know, I don't know, 20,000 calories on Saturday.
Well, there you go. You could take it to an extreme, right? Yeah. You need to spread it out. And ultimately, right, by doing that on the tax return, you know, we have a progressive tax system. That's really why this matters.
That's the key.
Right. If we had a flat tax system, as is the case in some other areas of the world, and even some states have a flat tax, then it wouldn't matter as much because effectively, whether you took the income today or you took it in the future, you'd be paying the same rate. But in our system, if you have $1 million of income today, you'll pay more than if you had $100,000 of income each year over 10 years.
Yes. I always tell people the same exact thing. Exactly that. You'll always pay less tax the more years you spread it out.
All right. So conceptually, if we agree that going to a 0% tax rate is not the best, and or is not the aim that people should be you know, not what people should be aiming for in retirement, and we're saying that you should try and spread it out, how do you, like, what's one or two things that listeners should keep in mind as they're trying to spread out? Like, how do you actually do that in reality?
Well, you have to do a projection.
Okay.
And this is best done, for example, with Roth conversions. This is best done probably November, December, after you have a good idea of what your income is. The reason I said with Roth conversions, because no longer can you undo a Roth conversion. So I have people, I tell people, think about it, but don't pull the trigger on a Roth conversion until maybe the first week in December, when you know better what it's going to cost after you get your capital gain distributions and all of that, maybe bonuses, things that come in. Mm-hmm. So you're better off doing it at that point, and then you have a better idea what that conversion is going to cost by knowing how much of each lower graduated brackets, that's what you talked about, the progressive tax system, their graduated rates, you get a certain amount of each bracket. I think you said it earlier, you never want to waste a bracket. I agree with that, because you don't get it back again. If you only used, I don't know, 80% or just a part, forget about the percentage, a part of the 22% bracket or the 24% bracket, you left the rest on the table. You never get credit for that in the future year. Mm-hmm. You want to start using those brackets each year. So the more income you can throw in to max out whatever bracket you feel comfortable with, I think given these rates, 12%, 22%, 24%, you could have hundreds of thousands of income, taxable income.
Yep.
And still be in a 24% bracket.
Yeah, the way I like to think about it and explain it, and it's, this is much more at a 10,000 foot view. At a micro
right.
level, you may have to manage a little bit more specifically, but you basically want to look at your entire life.
Right.
And you want your income to be as flat as possible over all the years. Like, if you
yeah.
were to plot this on a chart, right, with ups and downs, well, some years your income is higher because you've got a better year in business, or some years are higher because interest rates are higher and you've got more interest from the bank, or some years are higher because you had, some bonus
spikes
or whatnot.
And aberrations.
Right, sure. Yeah. You want to take the other savings that you have and sort of mix it into those years and spot low points, if you will, and fill it in so that there are no more low points, so that your income looks as flat as possible over your entire lifetime. Now, obviously, you've got to work at inflation and things like that, but that's generally the idea. You want your income to be smooth. You don't want large peaks some years and large valleys in the other, because when you see that, if you look at if you were to plot your income over the course of your lifetime, any large valley you have and large peak you have is probably an opportunity where, had you equalized that income
over
those 2 years or series of years, you would have paid cumulatively less tax. And again,
right.
this is an oversimplification. Tax rates change over time. There are certain things like Medicare Part B premiums, which only matter after a certain point. And only, you know, if you go over $1, then you're over the cliff. So if you've gone over $1, you might as well go over by $50,000 because it can't hurt you anymore.
That's a good
but
point.
As a general statement, smoothing out income over lifetime helps to create that lowest lifetime tax bill, which as tax planners, we value more than anything else.
Right. So back to your 0%, you might get a 0%, but at some point it's going to be the top rate, 37% or whatever the future top rate is.
Mm-hmm.
And that will wipe away all the prior year's savings.
Yeah. So ultimately, I think we agree, Ed, 0% sounds nice, But the reality is for most individuals who are healthy earners, who accumulate significant amount of assets, 0% is not something you should strive for. Instead, focus on that lowest lifetime tax bill, use up low rates while you have them, and take advantage of today's low tax rate environment while you can.
That's right. And inflation, because that expands the brackets each year.
Absolutely. All right. That's all the time we have for today. Ed, great discussion as always. We'll see you next time on The Great Retirement Debate.
Jeffrey Levine is Chief Planning Officer for Buckingham Wealth Partners. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be construed as specific investment, accounting, legal, or tax advice. Certain information mentioned may be based on third-party information which may become outdated or otherwise superseded without notice. Third-party information is deemed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. The topic discussed in corresponding arguments are those of the speakers and may not accurately reflect those of Buckingham Wealth Partners.